Hello, I'm your host. With a purposeful grimace and a terrible sound, I pull the spitting high tension wire down. I'm Phoenix. Joining me, my co-host, helpless people on subway trains scream bug-eyed as he looks in on them. And oh no, they say we've got to go. Go, go, Curry Bros.
What?
Do you not know the song?
I know off the top of my head, what is this?
It's Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh.
You know,
no, I've never
the song about Godzilla, the thing we're talking about? This all stays in, uncut. Do not edit my start to finish of the good take of that. We need the dead air so people know your face.
Oh, God, this is the one time I wish it was a visual. There's a few times, actually, I wish this was a visual podcast, but wow. Boy, howdy. Hi, I'm Andy. That's Phoenix.
I'm Phoenix. We're talking about Godzilla. Not Blue Oyster Cult. We'll do that episode some other day.
Oh, God, now I gotta listen to Blue Oyster Cult, and I have to talk about... I think they're the ones who do the more cowbell bit, or, like, that's... They're, like, it's based off that band.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Fear the Reaper.
Yeah, Fear the Reaper. That's exactly it. But we're not talking about Fear the Reaper today. We are not talking about even, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Today. We're talking about Godzilla, because... So the time of this recording was coming out, or when we were planning to do this, how our kind of release schedule would have worked out is this episode would have come out during the release week, or I think the week after the release of the newest American Godzilla movie, which is Godzilla X Kong New Empire. I believe that's the thing, but it's Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah.
And
big lizard, big monkey, big funch.
We announced that on the... On the season finale of our first season, we're talking about Duke and everything. And boy, howdy, 2 days after we did that recording, America decided to move up the release date.
Yes, America, the country, decides when the Godzilla movies come out.
Well, at least the American release date is 2 weeks up from the Japanese release date. The Japanese release date is still the normal release date, but for the America, it will be released 2 weeks earlier. Around, I believe, the time that we will be releasing season one finale. So we don't know when we're going to put this out. If we're going to put it out like the week after, same week, we'll kind of, you'll see it when you see it. But yeah, we're going to talk about Godzilla because Godzilla is kind of cool in a lot of ways. It's a giant fucking lizard, a giant radioactive lizard. And we've had kind of an interesting, I guess, history with it since... You've actually showed me Godzilla, and we kind of got into it together kind of more in the end of high school, early college.
Yeah.
For me.
When the Godzilla 2014 was supposed to be coming out, I really wanted to see it, and so did my brother, because we've been watching Godzilla movies all our lives. And so wanting to see that with you, because, you know, you wanted to join the cultural touchstone, I was like, all right, cool. We're going to watch the very first Godzilla movie. And we ended up watching the one that had the white dude in it. So it was the second Godzilla movie. So we messed up on that one. And then I was like, all right, cool. Now you know about the giant lizard. Now I'm going to make you watch Godzilla Final Wars, which has every Godzilla monster in it. And you were like, I don't know who these guys are, but I know that big lizard. And then we went and saw 2014 immediately after.
I do remember that. I don't really remember Final Wars, but I do remember doing that with you. And we saw seeing the first American one together, and it had a pretty decent impact on me. Not like it has had today. It was really cool to see, and I think it was kind of a beautiful start to you shoving another interest in my brain. Like most things you do since we've been friends for so long, like Yu-Gi-Oh, Godzilla, One Piece.
I'm a very enthusiastic patient zero with my interests.
Yes, I remember you saying that in our first episode. I think like one of the only, like some of the big things that I'm like into, not because of you, is like Dragon Ball, Pokemon, and Naruto. Those are like the only three things I can think of that you didn't have some sort of hand in.
Oh, the unavoidable weeb things, except for One Piece?
Yeah, well, I think One Piece now is a little bit more unavoidable. But I think back then when like Four Kids was doing it, a lot more people were a little turned off on it. But that's something we could talk about in another day because we're talking about a big lizard.
And you'd be hard pressed to find someone who was born in the 90s who doesn't have a favorite Pokemon.
It's true. It's true. It's not discrediting that. I'm just saying those are probably the only like big things that I still enjoy to this day that I don't think you had a hand in. I'm trying to think of other things. Star Wars. Well, I don't even really like Star Wars anymore, so.
Yeah, they kind of shit the bed.
It's hits and misses. Not going to like go into that one. Maybe we'll go into that someday. Maybe we'll have a huge conversation about Star Wars and how we feel about it. But today we are going to be kind of covering our kind of history with it. We'll actually talk a little bit about the first one, the 1954 one. So Phoenix, what is really your history with Godzilla? And like, what, like, how has that been like, what have you seen? How do you feel about it? What's your takes on?
So my history with Godzilla starts off in the worst place it can with Matthew Broderick. Because when I was much smaller than I am now, a younger sort, maybe 4 or 5, I was not in school yet. I remember watching that movie and thinking, whoa, the big lizard is good. And I was right then and I'm right now. So that was where it started with me. What happened next was my brother, who was much more into Godzilla than me, was asking for the actual good Godzilla movies for like Christmas and birthday gifts. So whenever he would get those, we would watch them, of course. And so that's how I was exposed to the true Godzilla through all his various gifts that he would get and movies we'd watch. And whenever we'd go on road trips, we'd always have like this really just a portable DVD drive. And we would just have a screen hooked up to it, and we would just bring Godzilla movies and watch them on car trips. And so just being blasted with Godzilla movies a couple times a year really did a number on my interpretations of what is a good movie and what isn't. If there's a giant lizard in it, it's probably pretty good. If there isn't, it's probably pretty bad.
Titanic, one of the worst movies ever because Godzilla was not in it.
Yeah, instead of having an iceberg hit the ship and have it split in half, why not have a giant lizard hit the ship and make it split in half?
Because then they would be taking from Godzilla 1954, because that's literally how that movie starts.
That is how that movie starts.
It's not like a big ship, but it's still...
No, it's a fishing ship, but it gets the point across. It
does get the point across. And, you know...
Godzilla used to be smaller.
He did. And it's actually kind of, I think, and at this point, a little bit more back in cultural relevance than I think it has been in a long time, with the 2014 movie coming out when it did, 10 years after Final Wars in Japan, and those movies that followed with like King of the Monsters and Godzilla versus King Kong, and now the newest one that's coming out this week or whatever we're going to put out. And then inspiring more Japanese films such as Shin Godzilla and the newest one to come out from Japan, and one of my personal favorites, if not my personal number one, is Godzilla Minus One, which came out in America in this past December, which is it's crazy to think that I can go tell people who wouldn't normally see a Godzilla movie or have that interest, that it's probably worth seeing for a lot of people. Like, it's very accessible. I think a lot of people could get a lot out of it.
I was actually surprised where talking about Godzilla Minus One was a major part of, like, not a major part, but did come up during, like, holiday discussions with various family members. And like, oh, we've all, like, independently seen Godzilla Minus One. And I remember all of y'all thinking me watching the big rubber suit lizard was weird a couple years ago, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Strange,
right?
How you've changed your mind.
One good movie, and next thing you know, it's not silly anymore.
Yeah, it's...
But it...
It's weird. It's good.
I mean, it's had such a long history.
Yeah, it's the longest running franchise. Movie franchise, at least.
Yeah, and it's kind of sparked... I don't know if it's the first kaiju movie, but it's like... probably not the biggest at the time, and it's the reason that you have such classics or such different monsters as like Rodan, King Ghidorah, Mothra, what have you. Mechagodzilla is huge for a lot of people. I think it also is like branched off with like the Power Rangers, but not the Power Rangers.
Yeah, Super Sentai.
Yeah, Super Sentai and like Kamen Rider and
yeah,
all that stuff. Jet Jaguar, I think, is I don't know if it's just in the one movie, but I don't know if it's, or it's like something that they use like in other properties or films.
I'm going to be honest. I try to forget Jet Jaguar exists when I can.
Really? I kind of love him for stupidness.
I didn't care for this kid's OC showing up in my Godzilla movie.
Yeah, but I love that he was like helping Godzilla out.
Yeah, it was nice. We got to see some tag team wrestle moves in that one.
That was very, that's like the best part of that whole movie.
Well, God knows Jet Jaguar wasn't going to save it.
Jaguar was a little bit doofy, but it was pretty interesting. That being said, do you have anything else you, before I kind of go with my piece, do you have anything else you kind of want to talk about with your end of your experiences with this franchise and how you feel about it?
I'm a Godzilla enjoyer first and a human being second. I think that this is a movie series that has gone far and beyond what people look at it and see, where people just think it's, oh, it's guys in rubber suits fighting each other dressed as monsters, wrecking the cardboard city, when there are a lot more deeper themes that can be brought up, like themes about nuclear war and PTSD and such that are allegorically portrayed through, yes, the giant lizard, what that shoots the lasers.
There's a lot of interesting environmentalism pieces in a lot of these movies that I've been noticing. And yeah, the movies can get a little silly, and some of them are a little bit more for children than they are for adults. But it's hard to not enjoy what it stands for with a lot of the times and the metaphors that the movies bring out. I think this movie series, or at least this Godzilla as a franchise, has a very solid place in movie history and is getting to a point of like legendary. You know, it's we're on the 70th year anniversary as of this recording, and there's no end in sight for it, even though they've tried to end it multiple times.
Yeah, Toho, the company that produces Godzilla, has often said, all right, we're making our last Godzilla movie, and then they realize, wait, that was our money printing machine we just turned off.
You talk about like movies that kind of should end, you know, franchises that should have kind of an ending, or like if you're going to continue on with it, you need to not hold on to just like whatever worked before and grow again. Godzilla, I think, is in that kind of realm where you can keep making them. Some are going to be hits, some are going to be misses. It's inevitable with it. And it all kind of depends on how invested the director and writers are with the character and how much care and love they want to put into it. And ultimately also what they want to say about it, especially with like metaphors. You know, we've gone from talking about H-bombs to, I think there was something about plasma energy in one of the ones I just watched recently. Certain aspects, just PTSD was one of them that you talked about, survivor's guilt. There's always just something that's tying the movies together, at least the good ones really together, that is hard to kind of ignore and hard to not like want to enjoy. And I, you know, at the end of the day, you can just have Godzilla fighting a giant monster and it will print money. It may not be one of the best, but I think there's always something you can do with it and something you can always bring to new generations, because problems are always changing in the world and everyone's got something to say about something. So you can always kind of use that big giant radioactive lizard to make your point go across.
Nothing really draws attention to an issue like making an elephant in the room
or a big lizard destroying a city. That being said, so my origins were you going, hey, look at this big lizard movie. We're going to go see the new one with Bryan Cranston. And I said, I watched Breaking Bad and I like Bryan Cranston right now, so I'll go for it. And then spoilers, he dies like a third of the movie in.
Yeah, that was weird, because the big problem with a lot of Godzilla movies is the human element and having some plot line that's just not connected to really anything that has to do with the giant monsters. And it can really drag down the movie, or sometimes when it's done really well, it can elevate it.
Yeah.
And Bryan Cranston was the strongest human part of that movie, and he's gone.
Yeah, it was a little, it was a poor choice on the writers and the director's part to do that, because he was definitely your strongest actor and character for that movie. You know, Aaron Taylor Johnson, I think, is the main lead actor.
Yep.
He's fine, but he definitely couldn't carry that movie like Bryan Cranston was doing it. It's a shame, but that's kind of, you know, the kind of one of the downsides of these movies is there are definitely movies where the human subplot bring it down. That being said, so over the years since watching the American one, we've seen you and I have seen the other ones. We've seen The King of the Monsters. You showed me Shin Godzilla, which was at the time and has been for the most part of my time as a casual Godzilla fan, my favorite Godzilla movie. One I can't wait to actually revisit soon. And then we saw Godzilla versus King Kong. I don't know if we saw it, but we both saw it at some point. And I think it was during the pandemic when that came out. So I think I watched it on HBO Max when they're doing that whole, we're going to put the movies out then and you can watch them for like a month or whatever because you can't go to the theater. You know, just really enjoyed it casually. Then most recently, at the beginning of December, I saw Godzilla Minus One, kind of based on your recommendation, but also I was planning on seeing it because why not see a good Godzilla movie? And I was a little shocked when you were like, this is probably one of the best movies I've ever seen in regards to Godzilla. So it really interested me. And boy, howdy, did you not disappoint, or like, you did not exaggerate. It is easily one of the best ones, if not the best one in the entire franchise. That being said, to make that more of a definitive statement, I have gone on to, well, I got kind of sick, so this kind of helped me, but I've been watching all the Godzilla movies since then, and so far I am on, I think I have watched 25 Godzilla movies since then, other than taking out Minus One and Shin Godzilla. I have seen from the beginning, I rewatched original Godzilla, and I've watched the original Japanese one, which I have seen before since then, and then I've been trying to watch every Japanese-based release of Godzilla. I haven't really, sometimes I've watched the American dub just because that's the only thing that was available to me or whatnot. But I've went through the Showa era, I've went through the Heisei era, and I'm on currently the Millennium era. And I've watched for the first time, and probably one of the more last times, the 1998, I think it was 98, Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick, and so I've thoroughly enjoyed this. Actually, this has been a very fun watch. I've seen everything from Godzilla Raids Again to the Mothras, the King Ghidorahs, to Return to Godzilla, everything here and there, and boy howdy, it's been a journey. And it's so interesting to watch how these movies have kind of grown and evolved, especially from each release. And what's really cool is like how quickly these things are made. Like Godzilla and Godzilla Raids Again came out the same year, or roughly within the same year of each other. And I think for a while they've just pumped out a Godzilla movie for like a year ever since, until like it was for a long time. They were cheap, quick, easy to make, and usually they could always have something to say.
There is one downside to them making those movies so quickly was in certain movies there is more wear and tear that is shown on the costumes where they start falling apart.
Yes.
Because a lot of the costumes were reused for other projects. I think Godzilla's costume, slightly altered, was in the original Ultraman.
Yeah.
Because that was also a Toho production.
It's definitely had some wear and tear in it. And like, I could see that more with some than others. And you can see when they finally decided to make a new costume for it or really update it. But it's, they've grown to be like this nice little, it's grown on me in such an interesting way. And just to see how Toho's decided to kind of turn the Godzilla character into different, you know, at first he's very antagonistic, and then he's more of kind of like a world hero, and then kind of goes back to the antagonistic roots. And then now it's, as I'm watching, kind of more of a middle ground where, you know, I was watching, it was funny because I was watching the Millennium Godzilla, the 2001, and I know you said we were talking about, and you said they, I think Toho made it as kind of spite the 98 Godzilla in America, where they're like, all right, we'll just do a better one.
Yeah.
That you could really tell with that one, because it's just, it's everything in best of both worlds scenario, where Godzilla is the antagonist for a majority of the time, he's the enemy, and then some big monster comes along and Godzilla fights it. And so you get the kaiju battling, Godzilla protecting the world, but you also get Godzilla destroying big cities because, fuck dude, humanity can be cruel bitch.
Yeah, the people are just in the way of Godzilla's fight.
Yeah, exactly. But overall, like, it's been a thoroughly enjoying watch. Some have been kind of slogs. The biggest slog, however, has been the American Godzilla. And I know for some people it is, like, they have a soft spot for it, and they, some people will kind of take it out and not put it in the same context as, like, what you would think a Godzilla movie is. And I guess you want to look at it that way. That's fine if you're trying to really just separate it from everything that came before it. But for me, especially after watching the other movies, it's hard for me to kind of go, yeah, I can appreciate this movie for something else, when even that, it's just, it was just, I don't know, it was just such a slog, and I was so bored by it, and the human, like, the human characters have no, I have no care for, at least, like, and I will say, to your point about the human plots, some of them actually do work, or at least work enough to a point where you can kind of at least get with it to get you to where you need to get with as far as just seeing the big monsters. But I feel like they just, the Roland Emmerich directed the film, and he just, I think, wanted to do not this. He did not want to do it. It just doesn't seem like he wanted to do it, and it's such a shame that it came out this way. But we're getting that fixed. I think the Godzilla 2014 is a significantly better American version of that movie. I think they have gotten better with them. I haven't seen the Monarch show yet. I do want to kind of check that out. But at least the movies have been enjoyable in America since then. I enjoyed the King Kong one. And I've enjoyed... I liked King of the Monsters.
Yeah, too. The movies put out by Legendary are absolutely an apology for fumbling the bag in 98 with that Godzilla. Which... other people have talked about it more at length, so I'll leave it to them. But there was like a list of sort of like a rule book or a guidebook for America to make their Godzilla movie that was given when permission was passed on to make that movie. And they went against all of it.
Which is such a shame. Like, why would you, when a literal creator is saying, hey, I will let you guys do this project, but please, like, at least kind of keep the spirit alive in this sense. And this is where we want to kind of go. Like, if you don't want to do creatively everything that they try to do, because I know American film industry and Japanese film industry are definitely different, but kind of like, and this is maybe a weird allegory, but, or a weird kind of comparison, but you think about, like, I know it's probably a tired subject, but before it wasn't, superhero movies. You think about, like, the ones that came out in the early, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like the Spider-Mans, the X-Mens, the Daredevils, Catwoman, things of that nature. And you see the ones that you could tell that they did not have the faith in, such as, again, Daredevil, Elektra, some of the later X-Men movies, things of that nature. You can tell they were just kind of like, no, we're just going to try and American movie-fy it. And then you have a lot of the early MCU movies and the ones that kind of work, and you can see that there's more of a spirit to it. Either they found a way to elevate the character that they couldn't find a way to do in the comics, with, like, such as Iron Man, who is a B-list tier Marvel character that has now put himself up in, like, the S tiers, the A tiers, S tiers. Don't know if it's fully there yet, but something of that nature. Same thing with, like, Captain America, Thor. I think those were all characters that, like, people did love if you were in the Marvels, but now they're, like, as all, you know, somewhere in the closer to, like, Spider-Man and Superman and Batman now. So it's just, you got to have that kind of spirit with it. So if you kind of ignore that, of course people are going to probably more hate your movie than like it, because you're not giving that respect to the foundation that was built for, at that point, oh god, like 40 years before it. So
I don't really have anything else to add when you just, you know, bust out the Encyclopedia Britannica and use every word in the goddamn English language to talk about how good the big lizard is.
Sorry, I'm.
How are you gonna look at me and be like, and you have to add? I'm like, my brother in Christ, you did the whole work.
Sorry, we're really going off script for this, so this is kind of a little loosey goosey here, but we did want to kind of talk about the original one, the one that came out in 1954. And I'm going to kind of leave that one to Phoenix because Phoenix is the source of my madness with this.
Thank God you're giving me a chance to speak. I wasn't going to get any billing on this if you kept talking.
Shut up.
So, Godzilla 1954, originally released as Gojira, produced and distributed by Toho Company Ltd. Quick plot summary. There's a series of disappearing fishing vessels that are being investigated by reporters, and the locals from the islands where the ships have gone missing inform them that it's due to an ancient sea creature known as Godzilla, Gojira. That night, Godzilla attacks the island, and in flashes of lightning, he can be seen, and it's very ominous for a 1950s monster movie, and reporters bring news of this back to Tokyo. Disaster relief is demanded and sent, and a paleontologist, which I don't think qualifies as disaster relief, is also sent there, and while they are investigating the trail of destruction, they theorize that this Gojira was some sort of ancient creature that may have been disturbed by hydrogen bomb testing, which is where we start to get the war elements that will be lasting in Godzilla. Ships keep disappearing, and there's a slight subplot of a disagreement between scientists who want to study Godzilla and the government who wants to kill it, because people are disappearing. A Dr. Sarazawa is introduced, and he has a secret project as well, and there's a weird engagement plot going on with that, and that being thrown away, but we don't have to dwell on that. Just remember the name Sarazawa, because it comes up a few times, and was actually used in Legendary's Godzilla. Unrelated to this one, but a nice little reference. Whoopsie-doo, Godzilla attacks Tokyo. It leaves an unstoppable trail of destruction, wreaking devastation upon Japan. After this, they go to Sarazawa and they're able to convince him to use his project, the Oxygen Destroyer, to kill Godzilla. The Oxygen Destroyer just does what it says on the tin. It eats away and causes a sort of oxygen decay of anything that's exposed to it, turning it to bone from whatever flesh state it was in. This is witnessed at first being done to some poor little fishes in a tank, and they believe that if they up the scale, it could stop Godzilla. Sarazawa is convinced, goes along with it, uses his Oxygen Destroyer, which does turn Godzilla into a Bonezilla, and Dr. Sarazawa, fearing what his technology could do in the wrong hands, decides to take his own life in the process of destroying Godzilla to prevent his research from being used by others for evil. And movie kind of ends there with a sort of lingering thought that if nuclear testings continue, then Godzilla or something like it could also surface. And this brings us to how Godzilla is an allegory for the devastation of nuclear arms against Japan in World War II. Picture, if you will, an unstoppable monster that causes incredible damage everywhere instantly, destroying cities, and then leaves lingering harm in the areas, because we didn't fully understand the implications of what nuclear weaponry would do to human beings. And even Godzilla's own design, at the time, being sort of like a bumpy scaliness, was meant to show the effects of how nuclear weaponry had affected people and what it had done to their bodies. So Godzilla was, at the time, a walking scar of the devastation brought to Hiroshima by the U.S.
It's a sore subject, and it's crazy how something like a tragedy such as that has brought this walking allegory that has stood the test of time and has been able to evolve into different human errors, if you will, or evolve from those human errors. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, all in all, it was a very good movie. It has stood the test of time, as you said. They got a sequel a year later, a threequel a year after that, and then it's gone on to spend the longest running movie franchise in history.
Yeah, I was actually just rewatching the 1954 before we got on here. I think out of all the human subplots, I know there's the throwaway romance subplot. It's not necessarily that bad as far as human subplots can go in these things. I enjoyed, I forget the father character. I think he's the paleontologist. I very much enjoy him, and he's actually in Raids again too. And he's like one of the only people that kind of like stays with the franchise, at least through multiple movies. There's not many people who do that. I did really like how there was that conflict of, like, we should be studying him, trying to understand him, and trying to understand why this happened and why Godzilla is here, but you immediately just want to kill the problem. You immediately just want to, like, okay, he's causing devastation. That obviously means we have to just destroy it. I think that's an interesting kind of development in the sense of, why is Godzilla destroying Tokyo? Why is he destroying this country? Is it because of us? And most of the time it is, usually because of human beings and what they're doing. So it's always interesting to rewatch that. So it's the second time I've watched Godzilla in like the span of 2 months. Boy howdy, it does stand the test of time in a lot of senses. It's old. It's, you know, the effects were not what they are today, but it still kind of actually does a very good job at kind of conveying how big Godzilla is in that sense scale of the movie and making it seem like he's really destroying a city. Like, I didn't feel like, logically, I knew it's just a man in a rubber suit just stepping on miniature buildings, but you can kind of at least still be in the illusion of, wow, this is a giant monster destroying a city. And it looks pretty good for what it is. It's still in my highest rating so far.
Yeah, I don't know how often we can reiterate, but the fact that they were able to just take the form of big lizard cause devastation and were then able to turn that into a number of different allegories, not just nuclear war, but that is the one it does come back to. But the original one with the effects of the bombs being dropped on Hiroshima, other ones such as, I'm trying to look at the list I have up here, but this thing is not listed in order for some reason.
Stupid.
I'm just going to go off the cuff. Shin Godzilla, where the devastation was meant to be a parallel to the tsunamis and the government's slow reactions to it, and how it is more and more falling to the younger generations to solve the problems that the older generations will twiddle their thumbs instead of dealing with. And Godzilla Minus One, where it told the story of a kamikaze pilot who did not fulfill that mission during the war coming back, and the PTSD he suffered manifesting the form of a giant goddamn lizard that killed his friends and seems to be following him from his perspective.
It does kind of feel like that survivor's guilt is literally just following him. And I think that was one of the cooler things about that film is how, I think when you look at the older Godzilla films, yeah, it's just about the big monster and how do we fix that. With something like Minus One, I think the coolest thing was we were more focused on the main character, the kamikaze pilot, whose name escapes me right now because I've seen so many Godzilla movies and there's so many different names.
I believe it was Koichi.
I will believe you on that one. I'm going to rewatch Minus One, hopefully before it goes out of theater soon. I just got to catch up with the rest of my rewatch. Or not my rewatch, my first watch is for a lot of these. But he's the main focus of that movie. Like, it's not Godzilla is literally just kind of the situation you're dealing with in the movie. He is the literal conflict. Whereas I think in a lot of the other Godzilla movies, he is the front and center, the star, the top billing kind of thing. Like, we're all focused about what he's doing. Where I think in Minus One, it's more of this man who's living in with this guilt of he didn't fulfill his mission. He comes home from war. He now has to rebuild his life and find a family in the process kind of thing. And you see these inner struggles with him that come out visually through Godzilla in a lot of ways, and watching Godzilla just kind of take everything from him.
Yeah, like after the war, he gets a job with a handful of other people who were also in the war, not with him, but they also served in various ways, and one character who didn't, and they get a job which is basically disarming old sea mines that were not ever used in the war. And so it's for these people to, the only work they can find is still dealing with the fallout from the war. And then Godzilla attacks them while they're doing this. And it's like, oh, here he comes again. Can't forget.
Here he goes. Don't want you to forget what this movie's all about. And then kind of just like, even as he's steadily coming into a life that's like somewhat peaceful. He's also struggling with that worthiness of having that life too. You know, he's not very accepting of the people that have come in the sense of he wants to isolate himself. And boy, howdy, he kind of takes it for granted, and Godzilla kind of shows him that when he finally attacks the city. And then kind of you finally have your turn of events with the character and how you see how he grows and everything by the end. I'm not going to go super too into that movie because I think if there's any movie out of all the movies that I've watched of Godzilla, go see Minus One.
Yes.
You don't have to see any of the Godzilla movies before it, and you can enjoy it for not just a Godzilla movie. That's kind of my big recommendation here. But I also recommend you go see the first Godzilla movie because I think that's a interesting piece of history, and you should always watch how things became the things they were today.
Now, I think we've run the gambit of what we can talk about with Godzilla. However, there's one thing that I think we should take from Godzilla and use it to make all movies better going forward in the future, which is for every god-awful, no reason to have it divorce plot thrown in a movie that has monsters. Now, for every movie about some couple bungling their relationship, we need Godzilla to attack at the 30-minute mark. We need that extra bit of tension. I need something engaging. I cannot sit here and watch people refuse to communicate for an entire hour and a half. Show me the lizard.
Just have the lizard coming through Austin, Texas or something. Just who fucking cares? At that point, just let it all happen because it does make the movie just a little better.
Yeah, I need to get my blood pumping or something. I can't keep watching you show me conventionally attractive white people breaking drywall.
That's a good movie, though. I know what movie you're trying to go off about, but I like that movie.
Yeah, well, one of us is right and one of us is you.
So, as someone, you've seen probably all of the Godzilla movies at this point, haven't you?
I'm trying to think. I didn't watch the... So, they did a series of 3D, 3D CGI Godzilla movies. I watched the first two, and I should have stopped after the first 15 minutes of the first one of those, because they're not great.
Yeah, I hear those ones aren't that great.
And other than those, I think the only one I didn't see was... I think it was the 1962 King Kong versus Godzilla. I didn't see that one.
Funny enough, you can actually watch that on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
It's hard to find in most places. And this is the thing that kind of really pissed me off, and this is my statement. Please put these back on physical media. Give me a reason to find these again, because holy shit.
If you were to tell me that my brother's collection is the only physical collection of all these Godzilla movies, I would believe you, because they are so hard to find.
I was getting to the point where I'm like, I kind of want to start collecting these. And you can get the Showa era, which is all the ones of from 1954 to I think 75, where it's all the ones in the, well, everything up till 2004, I think, is Men in Suits, but these are the ones that are the cheaper made ones that Toho made every year. And it's just they just get campier and campier as they go along. Those ones you can find readily available for the most part on Max right now. And I think there is a Criterion that has all of them, but I'm pretty sure the physical casing isn't that good from what I was reading. But you can find the Showa era pretty easily. It is the eras after that. I think the Millennium era, I'm finding having an easier time finding physical media and on the streaming services, but the 80s to the mid 90s ones, man, those are just, they've just disappeared, which kind of sucks because there's some of the better ones for the most part. I enjoyed Biollante and Space Godzilla, Destroya. Those have been some of my favorite ones to watch so far, and you can't find them really anywhere. I had to become a Monkey D. Luffy for a minute to even watch those, and I would have given my money to it. I would have paid for it, but I literally can't, which sucks.
Yeah, I think the Space Godzilla and Destroya are on a two-disc thing in a single DVD case that we have, which was always fun, the road trips, because it'd be all right, each of you gets to bring one movie. You'd be oh, well, technically it's only one movie case, so we can totally get it in there.
I love that. That being said, since you've seen just about all of them, like, what are some of the ones, if, for someone who's maybe never seen it, or just one of the Yu-Gi-Oh fans that are listening to this and have never really watched a Godzilla movie before, what are some of the ones you would probably recommend to them?
Other than the ones we've talked about, hitting minus one and 54 for the best one and the original best one, Shin Godzilla, I think, is a very well done one that does take the Godzilla mythos and make its own thing of it. Because a lot of them continue from the story of Godzilla created by nuclear testing, whereas Shin Godzilla makes him sort of his own thing, where it's a not unrelated to nuclear testing, but the direction they go with it and how it's portrayed. I think the human element in that one is very good. The musical score is really great. Hideaki Anno was involved in it, and his work on Neon Genesis Evangelion really shines through. Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack. The one from 2001, not the original Giant Monsters Attack, I think is very good because it is one where Godzilla is the villain and is a manifestation of the spirits of those who died during World War II in Japan. Sort of like a vengeful spirit that is causing destruction, and definitely takes a more mythological approach to all the monsters than them being either like aliens or made from science and that what have you.
So King Ghidorah in this, because I know when the eras come, it's kind of a reboot. So in this, they make new origins for, I'm in the middle of this era that Phoenix is talking about right now. So they do change up the origin story a little bit with King Ghidorah and like Mothra and stuff.
They do for this one. I'm pretty sure Final Wars is still in the Millennium Era. It's the last one of it.
Yes.
And they have a completely different King Ghidorah. So I think Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah is sort of its own thing. And I do appreciate it for that a lot too. And if you just want to see the big lizard fight every goddamn monster under the sun, watch Godzilla Final Wars. It is dumb. It is fun. Sum 41 shows up and plays a song for like 15 seconds.
Oh god, now I'm really looking forward to that one.
It is campiness over the top, and I love it. It's awful. You have to watch it.
It sounds like a swan song for everything that came before it, because I think this was one of those times where they're like, we want to stop making Godzilla movies. Or at least we want to take a break from it for a long time.
Yeah, this was the big gap where there was this, then there was the 10 years, and then Godzilla by Legendary came out.
Yeah, and then they were like, all right, let's keep making more. And then they made Shin Godzilla, which is really cool. Personally, yeah. For me, as I've been going along, minus one, minus Shin Godzilla, because those are ones, yes, I would recommend those. I think especially as standalone Godzilla movies, I think they do a great job doing what you've said before. Obviously, Godzilla, the first one, is great just to see where it all started and everything. Other ones that I think have had a lot of, I've had a lot of enjoyment watching. I'm looking at my letterbox right now, and I'm seeing, so my top five are Godzilla, the original, Godzilla versus Destroyer, Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, Godzilla Raids Again is number four. It's the first one that has, like, I think the monster, two monsters, like Godzilla fighting another monster, so I feel like that's has an important piece in this entire mythos. I got Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, and then I think that's my fifth one. But then I got like Biollante, Godzilla 2000, both Godzilla versus Mothra and Mothra versus Godzilla. I actually really like Mothra as like a kaiju. One that's very fun. I like. I'm actually probably gonna watch some of Mothra's movies after I'm finish these ones. But those are some of the ones I'd probably recommend. Some of the ones I wouldn't recommend are Godzilla 1998 or Ibira, Horror of the Deep. However you say it, I'm really bad at pronouncing.
What if Godzilla fought a shrimp?
What if Godzilla fought a giant lobster and it was kind of boring? That's kind of what I call, like, that's how I think I reviewed that movie. But everything else in between, I mean, you can watch them all. You can watch all of the Showa era minus King Kong versus Godzilla on Max right now.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, no, but They're on there. Good luck watching anything from Return of Godzilla to Godzilla versus Destoroyah. I think you can actually watch those two somewhere, but I can't remember where at the moment. But you can watch, I don't know where you can watch the other ones before that. And then I think some of the ones you can rent on streaming service from the Millennium Era, and then it's easy to find Shin Godzilla, and Minus One is in theaters as of right now, but I'm sure by the time this comes out, hopefully it'll be on DVD or Blu-ray.
The only thing I would say about your listings for really good ones is Destroy, I agree, is a very good one, but I do not think it's a great one for someone to jump into because of how much of a culmination of all of Godzilla that movie is.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, I should preface that with, if you are going to watch a lot from that era, you are going to probably have to watch a couple of the ones before that before you get to Destoroyah. But it is a very, very good Godzilla movie, and if you do kind of take the plunge like I did, you're going to enjoy that one. I was more just kind of saying which ones I enjoyed the most in general.
Now, if us rambling for this however long after this is edited down has not convinced you, I'm going to make the final pitch for everyone about why they should watch Godzilla. You go to someone and say, hey, you want to watch a movie? They say, yeah. You say, hey, we got this movie that's got this big lizard in it. And you say, oh? And I say, yeah, we got this movie that also displays the horrors of war, pollution, failings of the government to take care of its people, and also other giant lizards. And you say, oh, well, this all sounds phenomenal. I want to see even more. And you say, wait, I'm not done with the cell. What if there was also a giant robot of the giant lizard that fought the giant lizard? And they say, oh my god, it's already perfect. Why do you keep going? I say, wait, I've got one more. They say, no. I say, yeah. What if the giant lizard shoots lasers? And that's a perfect character.
You sold me. You sold me.
That is everything you need to know. Giant lizard fights other giant things. Allegories abound. There's giant robots. There's some human elements that don't always hit, but when they hit good.
There's time travel in a lot of them.
There's a surprising lot of time travel in alien invasions.
A lot of alien invasions.
The aliens saw Godzilla and they didn't think not to invade.
There's actually a lot of those, like, that's where they kind of like, they like to retread is like time travel in a lot of them and alien invasions. They haven't done that yet in the Millennium Era, but I'm sure we'll get there.
They kind of had. No, Final Wars.
Okay, there you go. But that's really, I don't know. We just wanted to kind of have like a little like,
we're doing us. We're taking a break. We're not doing our usual, like, as you can tell from listening, we're not like well thought out. We're not running off of like episodes in order, alternating who's talking about what plot beats. We just wanted to take some time to do like a more chill, laid back one and kind of see how this goes for you guys. If you guys enjoy us talking about other stuff and if we can infect you guys with our Godzilla brain disease where you have to watch Godzilla movies.
You have to watch them now. I can't remember. I can't even count how many times we've said Godzilla in this entire thing, but yeah, if you guys want us to like keep doing things like this, like in between maybe seasons, or like maybe if we take breaks in like during seasons or something, or maybe we'll take some time to record a couple other topical things for breaks or whatever we need, let us know if you like this. We have a few ideas of other things we're going to do. We are going to do one more off-series episode. Well, it's kind of on-series, kind of off-series. I think we were planning to do this first, but with Godzilla X King Kong coming out soon, this seemed more timed correctly. Going on into the next offshoot episode, we are going to be covering would you call it a movie? Or would you call it like a special?
I'd call it like an OVA.
Yeah, OVA sounds pretty accurate. So, to finally put the final nail in the coffin of Season 0, we're going to do a OVA of the Toei Animation, I believe is the one who did it, Yu-Gi-Oh! That they did, I think, after Season 0 was done. I don't know anything about it. As of this recording, I just know it exists, and we're going to watch it.
I know a little bit about it.
We're going to watch it. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be kind of laid back. Maybe we'll kind of talk more about like maybe our history with Yu-Gi-Oh! Maybe like a little bit of just like ramblings on that. Maybe something about things of that nature. Or maybe we'll just have a little discussion about it. And then after that, we'll finally get into Season 2 proper, which we're obviously excited about. Right, Phoenix?
Yeah, we're really just trying not to overwork ourselves before getting to what is, like, the real thing everyone remembers about Yu-Gi-Oh! We're trying to, you know, make sure we don't get ourselves burned out by talking about Yugi and friendship every week or every other week. Just making sure we keep our momentum solid for us. That way you guys can get this on the reg.
But if you guys have any suggestions of things you'd want to hear us talk about, anything kind of, you know, I guess, quote unquote, nerd related, let us know in comments, on our posts, DM us. I don't really care. We'd love to hear some suggestions. Maybe you'll kind of spark some inspiration for us to have maybe more either structured, or maybe we'll get better at this kind of like laid back discussion kind of.
If you just yell your idea real loud, we might hear you.
Yeah, honestly. We have a couple ideas down the pipeline of things we want to kind of cover, or maybe a big project or two we kind of want to put into an offshoot episode. But we'll just one more episode of offshoot, then we're going back to the series proper.
Yeah, if you guys are really feeling the Godzilla vibe and you want us to do more of like a deep dive into specific movies,
ooh,
like Andy said, let us know, comments, reach out to us. We'll see it. We do appreciate interactions from all of you. It does mean the world to know that you guys like what we do.
This was supposed to be like a half an hour episode, and we're probably going to go a little over that, but
no, we're still under the usual runtime, so I think it's fine.
No, we're about average at this point, but that being said, you want to do your socials and we'll kind of get out of here?
Yeah, sure. People can find me on the internet at twitch.tv/phoenixfarce and youtube.com/phoenixfarce, PHOENIXFARCE. I do casual gameplay, mostly card games, MTG Arena, Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, Marvel Snap. Sometimes I branch out into other stuff, and that is what I do in my spare time. Andy, where can people find you in the interweb?
So you can find me on Instagram at apapasergi, PAPPASERGI. And you can actually find me, because I just mentioned my letterbox. I might as well plug that. I have no real reason to plug it, but if you want to see my dumb commentary, because I like having little blurbs with my reviews, and you can see all my kind of like little reviews on all the, I'm putting all the Godzilla movies in as I go, so you can see how I feel about those, or just see a stupid one-liner. That's at Andy Papasergi. Papasergi spelled the same way I spelled it before. If you didn't get that before, fuck you. But yeah, that's really it for me. I'm Andy.
Phoenix.
Giddy up and see you later.
Oh no! They say we got to go, Karibos!
Bye.
I hope they don't demonetize us for that.
I hope not either.
Bing bong, we saw Godzilla X Kong. Here's our quick review, tacking on at the end of the Godzilla episode, which we recorded months ago. Andy, did you like the monkey? You like the monkey?
The monkey was the main part of it.
The monkey was very much the main part of it. Kong was the main character.
Kong was the main character, but Godzilla... Okay, it's so weird how, like, Kong had... Okay, let's just say we liked it.
Yeah, we liked it. It's a good movie. Go see it.
It's like the opposite... So, like... It's like the opposite of Godzilla Minus One, where Godzilla Minus One was like, there's like a deep story and like thought-provoking thoughts, and everything's actually really well done. And not to say that not everything's really well done in this, but this was like the meat and potatoes, vegetables, like your whole five-course meal. This is candy.
Yeah, this is
Sugar Rush.
You
want
to see the big monster slap into the other big monster? Cool, we got you.
You did it. We did it. It's very reminiscent of the Showa era, in my opinion. It's very kind of like, it's a little goofy. Let's just say that.
It's goofy. They gave the monkey a power fist.
They did. He gets that. Godzilla becomes pink.
Yeah. One ticket for Barbie, please.
I loved it. The Godzilla, and this is not really a spoiler, but it's like Godzilla literally just sleeps and fights the entire movie.
Yeah,
that is legitimately what he does the entire movie.
Yeah,
and then gets yelled at by his GF. That's not a spoiler.
We make up a kaiju for him to fight. He has a little nappy. He does it again. He fights a monkey. His wife says, "Stop it! Fight the other monkey." He does that
and fight the ice horse, whatever that is, ice lizard horse.
weird that you're getting a horse out of that creature.
Because I keep riding it.
You can ride things that aren't horses.
You're right. What did you think of all the new kaiju? Because I think that's an interesting thing, is they didn't have a lot of like kaiju that has gotten like significant screen time before this.
I think it's a good way for them to implement there are other kaiju, because the big thing they talked about was Godzilla coming back, like awakened kaiju all over the planet. And then we like kind of saw them in Godzilla King of the Monsters, where we saw Rodan, we saw King Ghidorah, but then Godzilla versus Kong comes out and we just see Kong, Godzilla, and Mecha. And the movie's like 2 years old. I'm not going to care about spoiling you or not anything.
I don't think this is worth spoiling.
And so now actually seeing some of the other Titans who either briefly cameoed or were in other source material, other legendary like the comics or short stories and all that, having them show up and be a part of it and like being known, I think is good, because I haven't watched all of it, but I know the Monarch show did have some stuff with other kaijus around the world, so actually seeing other kaijus is good.
Yeah, it's nice, and at least it's not like rehashing all the same ones, even though I would like to see some of the their interpretations of previous ones.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of traits that you can sort of pass over, like the not Kamakiri, whatever the hell the giant spider was from old Godzilla movies, was kind of like the crab spider he fights in this.
And it also reminded me of Ibidaira.
Another one that was like Manda. So, same but different.
I thought this movie was actually really good. I think it was my favorite American Godzilla movie, to be honest with you.
I know for sure I liked it more than versus Mechagodzilla for the story part. As far as all the fights go, I'd have to watch Godzilla versus Kong again, because that one did a lot of good ones. But I think this one did a very good dynamic, and another thing I've seen a lot of people saying is, and you've said, it's kind of like watching wrestling, but giant monsters. Because there is a part where Godzilla just straight up picks up Kong and suplexes him.
It's amazing. That was actually probably one of my favorite parts. I initially had this, and I sent this to you yesterday.
There's a part where Kong picks up a little monkey and starts beating other monkeys with him. It's great.
It's amazing. it's just stupid violence, but it's just kind of it's like the right amount or the appropriate time to have this kind of ridiculous, over the top, campier violence. And it didn't come off as cringe. The only thing that really came off as cringe is some of the human characters.
I agree, some of the human characters, because the human parts are always the weakest part of Godzilla movies. But I think they did an okay job of getting the people involved in this one.
I think if they just took out the podcast guy and they dumbed... Well, like, the podcast character in general, because I didn't particularly like him in the last movie either. And then... I didn't really like the veteran male character that got... He's apparently in Legion, that old FX show. But they made him kind of like a...
He was like the stand-in when there's like an asshole military figure.
Oh, not that. No, the weird weird guy with the
vet?
The Hawaiian
shirt.
Oh,
veterinarian. Yeah. I missed a... Yeah, you said vet, I thought military.
Like, his little over the top, and I feel like all the comedy... At least the human comedy kind of fell flat for me, but the actual like heart of the story worked at least. You know, it was passable. It was fine.
Yeah, there are far worse human plots in Godzilla movies.
100%. I think if they took out a little, like cut that down a little bit, or at least like gave more time to the better human stuff, I think this would have been probably a much better movie. Like I had it originally like just barely missing my top six. Now it's, I think it's just right out of my top 11 or top 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it's my 11th favorite Godzilla movie now.
Oh wow, knocked it down.
I moved it down.
The list you showed me.
Yeah, I like some of the other ones, and they give me a little bit more love, or like I have a little bit more love for them. Fair. That's really it.
Yeah.
If I had to give it a score, I'd really give it... I gave it like a four stars out of five. I think that's pretty fair.
I'd say it's a solid like 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, like, yeah.
If you want to give me a cut of the movie, just take all the human parts out, show me the monsters, 10 out of 10. Perfect. I understand everything.
Like, they're almost there. I think once they get, they kind of tweak the formula a little bit for the next movie, I think it'll be perfect. If they can kind of do what they were doing with this movie a little better, they got the best American Godzilla movie. They don't have to make any more. It's over.
Yeah, we can stop now. We're done. Everybody, go home.
All right. Well, that's really it for me. I don't really want to go into spoilers too much, but we just wanted to kind of tack this on because we just saw it and it's fresh in our brains.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say is I'm glad Millie Bobby Brown's character wasn't in these ones. I didn't like what she did in any of the other movies.
Yeah, I'm glad like a lot of the fat of that was trimmed, but
yeah, they really toned it down to like, here's four human characters. That's it.
And you only really have to give a shit about like two of them.
Yeah, here's comic relief, other comic relief, and plot characters, and we only need one of those anyway.
I know, it's ridiculous.
The other one's just here because she has tenure.
Literally.
No, she's here because we need an adult. That's why she's here.
If those two stay in the next movie, I'm completely fine with it because they do have like a connective thread throughout the movies. So I'm cool with them. Everyone else can go fuck off.
Oh, yeah, Hondo P. Don't give a shit. Get out of here. All right, let's give a big ups to us not having to deal with some fucking divorce plot in this one.
What? What was the divorce plot?
They had the whole beat in the last ones where the guy was like, oh, yeah, I've studied Godzilla, and also my wife left me to study Godzilla and monsters and shit.
Oh, and King of the Monsters. Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck off. I don't care. Show me the lizard.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I think with the human plot, you don't have to go too far with it. You just have to, like, connect it well enough where Godzilla somehow comes to a city and beats up another monster.
Yeah, just put some freaks like us in it that want to watch the big lizard. Have that be the human element. They want to get some sick shots for the Instagram of Godzilla.
They're like, wow, he really just punched that skyscraper out of here.
Does his thighs seem bigger in this time to you? People making comments about the different design choices they have for him.
Why is he pink now? I love it. Why is he running?
Lizard shouldn't be able to run.
Godzilla shouldn't be running. God, I hated that. Oh, well.
Right. Godzilla should also kill you by existing on the Earth with you. He's radioactive.
That's right. Oh, well. But, yeah, go see it. It's already been out. By the time this comes out, it's already been out for, like, 2 weeks. But go give it a shot if you were kind of thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah. All right. I'll sign off now. I'm Andy.
I'm Phoenix, being edited in post-first Godzilla recording.
Giddy up and go watch Godzilla.
Giddy up and Godzilla and goodbye.